looking at the testimonies to Christ and these great monuments to Christ, these great and glorious monuments to Christ that the Lord set forth himself as he was speaking to those who would make themselves his enemy. And again, you look at them, and how marvelous, how great. But you see, those dead folks, they don't appreciate it. There's a dead guy, you say, wow, look at that. He's dead. Say, look at that. He's dead. They just, and again, it's not only a monument, a testimony to Christ, but a monument to man's depravity. In John 5, the Lord said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself hath sent me, which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Then I think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And as the Lord spoke to his unbelieving enemies there, and we saw in the past weeks as he set forth the testimonies to his work, to his person, as we saw first the Lord set forth his own testimonies, as Christ himself claimed that he was deity. And again, leaving man no choice, that dilemma, that trilemma. You know, here's one that says he is God incarnate. Here's one that says he's the Messiah of Israel. Here's one that says he is the Savior. Well, either he is or he isn't. If he is, he's the Lord. And if he isn't, he's either a liar or a lunatic. You don't have that option that a lot of modernistic churches even today, or even philosophers might like to say, well, you know, he was a good man. You know, he was a fine example. That option's not left. He was either who he says he was or he wasn't. And none of those options are to dismiss him simply as a good man and a fine example. No, the Lord set forth that he himself was the righteous judge and that he was the Savior. Last week we began to look at the matter of John the Baptist, and we spent a little bit of time looking at that man, John. What a unique man in the history of mankind. A man with such impact, second only, perhaps, you know, to the Lord himself. Certainly second to the Lord, but I think perhaps second to no other man. The Lord spoke there of the testimony that John set forth. And again, these folks should have been, wow, awestruck, and they weren't. They were dead. John, back in John 5, verse 33, the Lord said, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Well, for a while it was popular. For a while they were willing to bask in that light. John testified that Jesus was the promised Redeemer, that he was the Messiah of Israel. In John 1 and verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here's the Lamb of God. Here's the one that all the Old Testament scriptures prophesied of. Here's the one that all the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to. Here is the Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God. Just as the blood of bulls and goats and lambs would never take away sin. But here was the ones whose blood would take away sin, would wash away the sins of his people, his elect people. Isaiah the prophet wrote, as John reflected on here, when he said the Lamb of God in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Here was the picture of the Old Testament sacrifice, the Old Testament lambs, of which pictured the Lamb of God, and that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. This is the one that Isaiah spoke of. This is the Lamb of God. Down in verse 11, Isaiah says, there again in chapter 53, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." God the Father poured out the wrath that you and I deserved on the Son. He suffered what we should rightly have suffered. The Father saw the travail of his soul. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." There was no room in there. The Father looked upon the travail of his soul and he was satisfied, but you still got to add your part, you know. He was satisfied, but, you know, you got to exercise your free will. He's satisfied, but, well, not completely, because if you don't do your part, then it don't matter nothing. Doesn't say any of that. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And the world there again, cosmos, speaks of men of every nation and of every tongue. The elect of God. Those are the sins that are taken away, the ones that he died for. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." His elect. Those chosen before the foundation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John testified that he was the Lamb of God, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior. John testified that he was indeed the Son of God. And all the detractors understood exactly what that meant. They understood that he was setting forth that Jesus Christ is deity. In John 1, verse 32, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Eternal One, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And John gave testimony to that. John didn't think that Jesus, you know, that this one that he was testifying of originated when he was born in a stable. No, here's what John said down in verse 31 of chapter 3 of John. He that cometh from above is above all. Where did Christ come from? Where did this man come from, this Lamb of God? He came from above. He wasn't like any other man. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Where did Jesus Christ come from? He came from heaven. That can't be said of any other man. That can't be said of any mere man. And even that he was the greatest born amongst women, John, it couldn't be said of John. Oh, God sent him with a message. God the Father sent him with a commission. But John didn't come from heaven. But this man, he cometh from heaven and is above all. John testified that Jesus was the Savior. John 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John set forth, the Son is the one who was the Savior, and the only means of salvation. And indeed, it's that trust in the Son that determines and that really demonstrates the eternal destiny of those who hear. John in Acts 9, verse 14, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now, John pointed the way to the Messiah. He pointed the way to the Christ. He pointed the way to the Savior. The Lord says here in this section that John we're looking at, said, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say unto you that you might be saved. I don't know of all those that were there. There may have been some of the elect amongst that. The Lord knew those who were his. Those who would be quickened by the Holy Spirit, given the graces of repentance and faith that they might be converted. So here was the testimony of this one John. One to whom the Lord, again, himself had gave testimony that amongst men, you know, he was a giant. If not in stature, at least in influence. Matthew 11:11, again, the Lord said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And again, here in this same passage, the Lord said in John 5, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You know, for a while, the Pharisees were willing to receive John's testimony. They were willing to receive, you know, John's ministry, as long as it didn't impact on, you know, their own positions and their own religious realm. And indeed, the Lord kind of pushed their backs against the wall. And we looked at that in more detail last week again, you know, where the Lord said, what about John's testimony? You know, you want to know about me? What about John? And the Pharisees said, well, if we say John's testimony came from men, or John's baptism came from men and not from heaven, in Matthew 21, verse 26, but if we say, well, let's just look at that passage. That's a good teaching point anyway, though we looked at it in passing last week as well. Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? You see, the Pharisees didn't really care about that. But they were looking for some kind of point to disparage the Lord. Said, you know, what makes you think you can come do this and in our religious realm? Well, it wasn't theirs, you know. It was the Father's. He'd cleansed the temple. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. You know, did they really care about authority? Were they really concerned with heaven's authority? Is that really what they were wanting to know? The baptism of John, which was it, from heaven or men? This passage, it never stops. The religious realm is still there today. They're still giving these same answers. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why would you not then believe him? You see, and if they said that, then they've already answered their own questions when they asked the Lord, by what authority are you doing this? Well, they can't say that, can they? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. We were talking this morning back there about, you know, folks that come out with some strong statement and some prominent people in the media or in government or in sports or whatever realm. They'll come out with some strong statement and then they detract it. Well, I didn't mean that. It wasn't, you know, I can't say. And they reason with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people. For all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Man, we can't tell. We can't tell. We don't know. I mean, I like what Pilate asked the Lord, you know. Yeah, what is truth? Is there truth? We're talking about principles today. This is where the Pharisees are. This is where the religious world is. And the non-religious world. Well, you know, we can't tell. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? You know? The Pharisees, though they've in essence rejected the testimony of John and rejected what he said about Christ the Messiah, they were afraid to come out and take a strong statement on it. They were afraid of the people. John, the Lord says, was a shining light. He was also a burning light. And kind of like the child or the moth or whatever, you know, the Pharisees were kind of drawn to this light. There he was out in the wilderness, and he was getting a gathering, and you know he seemed to, in the realm of the world, initially be having some kind of success and popularity. It ended up with having his head cut off. You know, that's those who continue to stand for principle after they come into those positions. That's what happens to him. But anyway, he was a shining light, but he was also a burning light. And his testimony, when it had burned the Pharisees, and they came out to be baptized of them and of him, and he said, you know what? You show forth the fruit of repentance first. Well, they weren't about to do that. So they hated John, and they discarded his testimony. So here are these twin pillars we've seen thus far in the Lord's testimony, the testimony of John. Oh, there's more! But see, that guy don't He wasn't impressed by those first two pillars. Maybe the third pillar will impress him. Back in John 5 that we're looking at in verse 36. The Lord says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Those works that the Lord did and those miracles that he accomplished during his earthly ministry, they were but a part of the far greater and bigger work. In John 4 and verse 34, the Lord said, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was the great work that the Lord was about. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Lord said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life a ransom for many. And those works that the Lord did during his earthly ministry would have, to someone who wasn't dead, verified his ministry. John 10, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I told you and you wouldn't believe. You saw and you wouldn't believe. Continues on down to verse 37 of John 10. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me, not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You know, what the Lord did, what his accomplishments were, what the work he did showed, demonstrated who he was and that he was accomplishing the work of the Father. And those miracles, again, that the Lord accomplished during his earthly ministry, they were fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And we'll get more specifically into the scriptures as the Lord talked about that as well. But these works, as they related to what was written. So, you know, here's what the Messiah would do, and here's what Jesus did. They said, nah. Isaiah 35 and verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be stopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Isaiah said, here's what the Messiah will look like. Here's what's going to happen. And everywhere the Lord went in his ministry, that's what happened. In John 3 and verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Again, speaking of Nicodemus as he comes to the Lord. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, Nicodemus acknowledged, you know, that obviously you're sent from God. And of course that great work what was accomplished on Calvary's cross, the work that he was sent to accomplish. John 19:30, a verse we often reflect upon. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Yeah. That great work that he had accomplished, that great work that he had finished. But it can only be received. It can only be received by those for whom it was intended, for those who have been given life by the Spirit of God. Again, if you look over into John 12 and verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not in him. It's like, you know, what else could he do? What more could be done? But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Yeah, even their disbelief was prophesied. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again. Wait a minute. I thought, you know, their free will and stuff. Everybody gets a chance, you know. Everybody gets a chance. I mean, I've heard people tell me that before. It must be true. Therefore, they could not believe. Because then Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. You know, what a sad, sad commentary on the depravity of the fallen state of mankind, the depravity of mankind. He did all the miracles, and yet they believed not. Isaiah had said, they won't believe. Their eyes have been blinded. Their heart has been hardened. Of course, in John 6, the Lord said, no man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man. Well, yeah, the Arminians, everybody can, if they just want to. But they don't want to. Their water is broken. They cannot, and they will not, as the Lord said here in John, you will not come, that you might have life. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. What did Paul tell us as we were studying Romans 11 verse 7? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now Israel's been blinded. Of course, Paul goes on to tell us that, you know, there's still a remnant and an elect within Israel that sees. But it's not a man. All these miracles he did, I can't break through human depravity. First John 4, the apostle writes, 1 John 4, verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, John is saying, well, we got to be more persuasive. You know, we need a better plan. We need a better program. Need a better preacher. Now, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now, it wasn't John. Wasn't a preacher. Couldn't even the works that Christ did, that couldn't break through the human depravity. So we've seen, you know, thus far, here's these three monumental testimonies to who Christ is and to what he did. The testimony of the Lord himself, the testimony of John, the testimony of his works, including his completed and finished work on Calvary's cross. He rose from the dead. Those dead folks still aren't impressed. And it's only by God's grace. It's by God's grace and by that alone. We've looked at three pillars, and maybe next week we can wrap this up. If not, the week after. Whenever we finish up there. Next week we'll look at the testimony of the Father to the Son. And maybe, you know, that'll persuade these dead sinners to exercise their free will. Maybe, but maybe not. Okay, let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 228, If Jesus Goes With Me. Number
228. It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. To bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife. But though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be. Cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens across the billows foam, I'll prove my faith in as my judgment's fair, and if he stays with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to be, wherever I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege. His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of the Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or where down in a prison ship, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for our Savior. Lord, we thank you for his completed work. Lord, we know without that we would be lost and undone. And Lord, we know that apart from your eternal election, apart from the quickening of the Spirit, that we never would have come to see these things. We never would have come to embrace these things. Lord, regardless of how great the work, how wonderful the Savior. Father, we thank you that you undertook that as well. Father, we thank you that it wasn't left to our own depraved and fallen human wills. We'd be hopeless. Father, we thank you that you've given your people eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, may we be faithful to proclaim those truths, knowing that we can't convince men. But your Spirit alone can do that. Father, I thank you for this little fellowship. Lord, I thank you for this people. What an encouragement it is to meet together with those of like faith and practice. I pray your hand upon each of them this week, Lord. I pray your hand upon those that have concerns and heartbreaks. I pray your hand, Lord, upon those that have health needs. Lord, we all have concerns for loved ones that know you not, that walk not with you. Lord, I pray that you might, if it pleases you, to use us. And Lord, that we might ever trust in your sovereign will in all things, knowing that you do all things well. Father, we pray for those specifically that have health needs this week, and I think of Brother Pruffle's mother that be having surgery tomorrow, that you be with her, that you be with the doctors. Pray for his nephew and the concerns there with the family and so many others that have health needs. Again, Lord, we know that you're the great physician. We know, Lord, that you do all things well. Father, thank you for that confidence that you allow your people to have in you. And for being such a God that in which we can have such confidence. Lord, go with each of us as we depart this place. Keep us faithful. May we be the witnesses and testimonies you would have us to be this week. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.